You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Living a Supernatural Life.
Hey, everybody say, speak the supernatural. So let's see how this thing works. Go to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Jesus had just healed the lunatic boy who's possessed by the devil, who often casts himself to the fire and then into the water. And then Jesus embarrassed his disciples. He wasn't trying to embarrass his disciples, but you know, the boy's father broke loose. Listen, I try to go through protocol. I try to go to your little associate ministers here. Ain't nothing happening. And so I try to go work the ranks, but I need you to help me. Jesus cast the demon out the boy, and then they come to Jesus, Matthew 17, 19. Then came disciples to Jesus apart, or when he got him by himself, and said, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? And he said unto them, what? Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith, because of your unbelief. So watch it. Unbelief short circuits the supernatural. Unbelief trips the breaker on the supernatural. I did a series one time called Uprooting Unbelief. And that's when I did that series, I dealt with the fact that I believe it was in this context. Where the man says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help my... Unbelief is the areas that second thought that keep coming up. I believe, but it's been a long time now. Mary and Martha, right? God, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died, but I'm telling you, even today, if you believe, you can see the glory of God. Do you believe thou this? Yes, we believe you the resurrection. All right, roll the stone away. Oh, but Lord, but now he stinketh. Jesus said, I didn't say if he don't stink, you'll see the glory of God. I said, if you believe. I don't care how long it is. I don't care how much it's stinking. How bad it is. I didn't say if it smelled good. I said, if you believe. See, I believe, but these areas, and I outlined several things in that series that cause us not to believe. Sometimes it's time. Okay, sometimes it's that element of time. Abraham and Sarah, they thought time was running out. Sometimes it's tradition. Well, I had always heard, I never saw it like that. We don't praise like that. Okay, so a word come forth right now. Come on, if you dance right now, God will deliver you through that dance. Well, I came out of church, we don't dance. So your tradition keeps you from getting a breakthrough. Are y'all hearing me here? Sometimes it's societal norms. Well, nobody else is doing it this way. And sometimes it's just plain old human reasoning. It's the human reason keeps us from operating the supernatural. I just don't understand. If I already don't have enough money and I give God this whole $10, how am I need going? That human I need more money. So why would I give money if I need money? See, your human reasoning is keeping you from operating in supernatural principles. And so all those errors are errors of unbelief. And so they said, Lord, why can we cast them out? Because of your human reasoning, because of societal norms, because of what your tradition, because of your unbelief. But I'm telling you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say something. If you have faith, you'll say. How do I know if you have faith? By what you say. If you have faith, you will say to this mountain, remove hence yonder place, and it shall remove, and no thing shall be impossible unto you. Say this, say, nothing shall be impossible unto me if I believe and use my faith. No, Jesus says, if you have faith. See, the issue is, too many of us, we're trying to go get faith. Have faith. Faith has to be your operating system. I wake up in faith. Go to bed in faith. Talked to someone earlier who told me because they had something that happened in their home a few weeks ago and it kind of messed them up and they weren't able to. They said, "I'm having a problem sleeping." I said, "You're going to have to take authority over that." Amen. So watch it. In order for me to take authority of that, I got to operate in faith while I'm sleeping. Come on now. You got to put on the whole armor of God, and the Bible don't ever say you take it off. You don't ever take with the shield. I know it looked mighty stupid laying up in the bed with the helmet and the sword and the shield and the shoes and the belt. God said, "Don't you take this off." I done heard about it, people around me in the spirit. I ain't never experienced people talking about these spirits that attack you at night and can't move and all that. You better keep your garment on. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I ain't had the spirit, but I heard about spiritual warfare. Okay, I ain't gonna ask you to raise your hand. Just wink at me. Just wink at me. So you have to always. Faith is the operating system of the believer. Kim Hagin used to say that keep the switch of faith turned on. You don't ever turn it off. In Him I live, I move, and I have my being. My down sitting, my uprising. I'm always in faith. I'm always, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, has a wrong line. I gotta be operating in faith all the time. I can't be going through seasons of being a person of faith. Because the devil will attack you in your off season. Are y'all listening to me? See, this word of faith was not for a season. It wasn't for the 90s. Can I help you? This word of faith is about more than your house. Now that you got a house, this word of faith is more than you just having a car. I know you got a good car. This word of faith is about your life. The devil wants to destroy your life. I have seen people over the years, even in this church, they operate in great faith in finances and won't operate in great faith regarding mental battles. Operate in faith regarding a car, but don't operate in faith regarding your marriage. It's the same God. It's the same faith. Come on. Now, I'm going to acknowledge this one because the other one y'all wouldn't say since I said I ain't been through. Some of y'all wouldn't say that. Anybody ever prayed over the car? Oh, come on now. Some of y'all don't know what it is to pray over a car. You know you ain't got no money to get this thing fixed. I need something supernatural happening here. They told me you need a new starter. Jesus is my starter. trying to turn that thing over to me. And you just go on to prayer. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command you to start right now. Hey, yeah, come on, Jesus, come on, yes, sir. Oh, hey, oh, won't he do it? Oh, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I drive nice cars now. I got guaranteed, most times, my car guaranteed to start. That wasn't always the case. And see, some of y'all laughing because y'all prayed to get it started. I had to pray a car stop. I had a car that was stuck. I had to pray to get it started and pray to stop. I pull up in front of the house, go on in the house, and put that car still be sitting there. My neighbor come out. I think you left your car on. I know it'll shut off after a while. Stop it! Come out in the name of Jesus. Watch this. I said this last week in this service. What would you have if you didn't have anything else to rely on? What would you depend on God? See, no, because we're laughing about that. But we know it ain't natural to be praying for no car to start. Come on, people, faith, people don't operate in faith. Come on, you just need to get that thing fixed. You need a new transmission. You need a starter. You're like, I don't have no money for no starter. God, if you don't do this thing, it won't be done. I got to get to rehearsal. I got to get to church. And so you believe God above what other people believe God. Come on now. If you can believe God to fix your car, he can fix your marriage. This is what the Lord told me years ago. My faith will work for anything that I targeted at. My faith will work for anything that I targeted at. Some of us, we only target our faith to particular areas. The same faith you use for that, now use it for this. The faith, same faith you use over here, use over here. You have to target your faith to whatever you're believing God for in any area of your life. So Jesus said, you got to have faith, not go get faith. You got to go, you have to have it. It has to be your operating system. Okay? They're supposed to be getting me new computer at the office. One of these days, they're going to get the pastor a new computer. We've been talking about getting this new computer for about 3, 4, 5 months now. And then he even came up about a month ago. Pastor, you want a new computer? Yeah, I sure do. It sure would be nice if you got pastor a new computer, since y'all got the nice computers and everything. And so I go to office. I don't even try to turn my computer on because it's just you sit there and wait. And then, you know, I have fallen asleep waiting for that computer to come on. Anyway, so when it finally comes on, even though I may not have turned that computer on in a month, the time is right. Come on now. There's been updates because even though it was turned off, it wasn't shut down. Come on. You got to stay in faith all the time. You don't just get in faith when you need to use your faith. Faith got to be your operating system. I'm always believing God. And here's the other thing. I'm really helping y'all today. Here's the other thing. Lord told me, you should never let your faith lie dormant. What are you believing God for? Some of y'all have come up to me and sowed a seed. And I say, okay, what you believing God for? And you say something like, well, I ain't really believing for nothing. What do you mean you ain't believing for nothing? You should always have something on your faith plate. And it may not be, I got all my material needs. It may not be about a car or house. How about I'm believing God to be more patient? I'm believing God to stop lying over in this section over there. I'm believing God for more fruit of the Spirit. I'm believing God to have a better prayer life. What are you believing God for? And so your faith ought to always be active. If you have faith, not going to get it, as a grain of mustard, you will say. If you have faith, you'll say. So faith is characterized by what you say. You speak to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible. He said, if you have faith, you start speaking of things. You'll start binding things. You'll start loosing things. You'll call those things that be not as though they were. Now going over to Mark 11 chapter. Mark 11. Because if you're going to operate in the supernatural, you have to speak the supernatural. Mark 11. Let's pick up here verse 12. On the morrow, which means the next day, when they would come to Bethany, he, referencing Jesus, was hungry. And he, Jesus, seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily, or perhaps he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of fig trees, of figs was not yet. Now that's the part that always kind of messed me up with this verse. He came expecting. I didn't catch that before. Glory to God. My expectation will not be cut off. He came, if happily he might find, he came expecting to find something. And he knows my expectation produces stuff. So he come to the tree, expecting to find something, but he found nothing but leaves, for the time of fig trees was not yet. It's not time. Here we go right here. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I know it ain't time, but your faith can change seasons. I know it ain't time, but faith defies time. Faith accelerates time. Faith makes things that would take years happen in months. What would happen in months happen in days. What would happen in days happen in hours. What would happen in hours happens in minutes. Faith. Glory to God. Again, even now, and I've been reminding the devil of what God has done in this ministry over the years. I've been reminding, see, some of y'all, you just got here, but I mean, when God's hand in the early days of his ministry, God's hand was upon us and things were just sped up and accelerated. How? It accelerated, listen to me, beyond the banks. So when we went to go buy property, the bank said, you're only 6 years old. You can't have this kind of building yet, or you can't have this kind of property yet. You don't have the history yet. Oh my God. I didn't have history with the bank, but I had history in the kingdom. Look, somebody say, I got seniority in the kingdom. Come on now. See, you got to know how to use this seniority. You see, I've been walking with Jesus for a long time, and I ain't tired yet. You see, I ain't no neophyte. I've been walking with the Lord, and I've seen over the years. I know what my faith can do. So when the bank said no, God said yes. Amen. Because when Jesus say yes, nobody can say no. Yes, sir. So it didn't matter what they said. It mattered what I said. Come on now. My faith accelerated things. Say this. Say, my faith will accelerate things. When my son got ready to, this is the parents here who have children, who have children who have been raised up under this word of faith. You understand, they ought to go to a whole nother level than us. So when my son Tyler told me he was going to start his law firm right out of law school, I said, well, son, you know, you need to work for somebody else. You need to slow down. You know, you can't just start off. He said, Dad, I think Chairman said the same thing one time. I said, son, he said, Dad, it took you that long to get these things done. But this all we know. We came up here nothing but faith. So why can't God do it even though we ain't been doing it for this many years? Are you hearing me here? My son Chandler got his first house. Got his house. First house, I'll call it that. Okay. Pastor Chandler got his first house. I don't know, 25, 24? I didn't have my first house till I was 40. Was he supposed to wait till he 40?
Well, you know, it took me, I was 40 years old before I had a house.
Well, your faith ought to be accelerated in their life. I'm prophesying. It ain't going to take your children as long as it took you. I said, it's not going to take your children. Because, see, this is all they know is faith. So Jesus comes to this tree. And look at verse 14. Look at this verse 14. And Jesus answered. they're making up. Y'all right. You better go, media. And Jesus answered the tree. Come to this tree looking for some figs. I need me some figs. Some figs. A fig over here. And the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto it. What's it? The tree. No man. Oh, come on. Stay with the tree. Stay with the tree. We'll work the tree here. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eats fruit of the tree hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now watch this. Jesus answered. Now, Jesus is not a schizophrenic. He's not crazy. He's not hearing voices. Jesus answered it. If Jesus answered it, that means the tree had to say something. Now, I can't prove this, but you can't prove me wrong. Jesus went to go find some fig tree, some fig. And he said, now, figs. I believe Jesus said, fig tree, produce some figs. The tree said, I ain't producing nothing. He said, what? You come for me, I'm going to come for you. And so Jesus cursed the fig tree and said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. From this day forth, you will never produce anything. And the disciples heard it. But just like Jesus, when he did something unusual, talked to that woman in John 14, woman at the well, they came to know Jesus. Ain't supposed to be talking to a woman, or regularly they wouldn't have. The Bible said, no man said anything to him. The disciples heard it, but they didn't say anything. They probably talking among themselves. My wife told me he crazy. How long are we gonna put up with this man? This man be talking this stuff. He be talking stuff we don't see. All right, I'm gonna walk, but soon something else crazy. I'm out. Deuces. Jesus cursed the fig tree. Everybody say cursed. He didn't cuss the fig tree. You black, you black. No, he didn't cuss the fig tree. He cursed it. I mean, he spoke death over it versus life. So the tree obviously was being disobedient to him. Okay? Again, I can't prove it. Can't prove it wrong. But drop down verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. The next day, this tree... The next day, the tree is all dried up. It don't even look like the same tree anymore. Something happened overnight. Y'all ain't hearing me here. Something happened overnight. The tree was dried up from the roots. And watch it. And Jesus, most likely he's leading. They're following. He told them, follow me. Jesus just said, walking by the tree. They're going about a business. Because Jesus wasn't shocked. He knew when I said it, it happened. Come on now. Say that. Say, when I say it, that's when it happens. Jesus wasn't shocked that the tree was dried up. Because he spoke it. No word that Jesus speaks is powerless. It's just a matter of time before you see manifestation. And so Jesus going on walking by it. And Peter said, hold on, Jesus. Remember, this is the fig tree that you cursed. It is withered away. And Jesus said unto him, the supernatural is supposed to be natural to you. Jesus said unto him, just have faith. Have faith in God. Know when you say something is going to happen. Know when you believe it and say it, it's just a matter of time. Manifestation is going to happen. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, now he's looking at a mountain, be removed and cast to the sea, and don't doubt his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Say, I will have whatsoever I say. So watch this. Say, I will see what I say. Come on, say it again. I will see what I say. Say with some attitude. I will see what I say. I don't say what I see. I see what I say. That's how faith works. That's how you operate in the supernatural. And so Jesus says stuff like this. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth, it's what's already bound in heaven. Bring it to manifestation down here. Whatever you loose on earth is what is already loosed in heaven. Bring it to manifestation here. Now, if Jesus was going to do it, he would just bind everything. And he would loose everything. He said, I gave you the keys. Use it. What are we tolerating because we're not using keys of the supernatural? We're not binding, we're not loose, we're just tolerating, we crying, we weeping, and we're not taking authority and declaring, I'm a supernatural man or woman. I am not subject to everything everybody else is subject to. If God be for me, who can be against me? If God don't work this out for anybody else, he'll work it out for me. He loves me like that. He cares for me like that. He will show himself strong on my behalf. The eyes of the Lord are going throughout the whole earth. He's designed to show himself strong. Here I am. I'm going to be God's example of somebody he can use, somebody he can show himself strong. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will see what I say, and I speak, and I see.
Are you living your best life? You can live above the natural and expect the supernatural. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that God can do extraordinary things in your life and cause you to live supernaturally. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Living a Supernatural Life.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.